In South Texas, the intricate musical phrasing of a long-billed thrasher rambles forth from a thicket. In a dense Midwestern shrub, a brown thrasher holds forth. The slender, secretive thrasher prefers singing from the shadows. From a nearby evergreen come the pure whistled notes of a white-throated sparrow. This sweet music will ring through many northern forests all across the continent. For Bird Note, I'm Michael Stein.
Peter Jones, and you are indeed listening to Tell Us a Tale, where Jen Hoffman and I are going to share a couple of our favorite children's stories from the late 20th century. We're going to start with one that I have performed all over the United States and Europe called Tacky the Penguin by Helen Lester, and that's published by Houghton Mifflin.
There once lived a penguin. His home was a nice icy land that he shared with his companions. His companions were named
Goodly, Lovely, Angel, Neatly, and Perfect.
His name was Tacky. Tacky was an odd bird.
Every day,
Goodly, Lovely, Angel, Neatly, and Perfect
would greet each other quietly and politely. How are you, old chap?
Well, thank you, dear, and you, dear fellow.
Smashing, thank you. Tacky greeted them all with a hearty slap on the back and a loud, "What's happening, dudes?" His companions were very graceful divers. What was that? Was that a swan dive?
No, silly, that was a penguin dive. What do you think?
Tacky liked to do splashy cannonballs. Cowabunga!
Goodly, Lovely, Angel, Neatly, and Perfect always marched
1, 2, 3, 4.
Tack, he always marched. 1, 2, 3, 4, 2, 3, 6, 0, 2.5, 0.
Goodly, lovely angel, neatly and perfect.
Always sang pretty songs like
Sunrise on the iceberg, all covered with snow.
Tacky always sang songs like How many toes does a fish have?
Tacky was an odd bird.
One day the penguins heard the feet in the distance. This could mean only one thing. Hunters had come. They came with maps and traps and rocks and locks, and they were rough and tough. As the thump, thump, thump drew closer, the penguins could hear the growly voices chanting,
"We're gonna catch some pretty penguins, and we'll match 'em with a switch. And we'll sell them for $1 and get rich, rich, rich."
Goodly, lovely angel, neatly and perfect,
all ran away in fright. They hid behind a big block of ice.
Tacky stood all alone. The hunters marched right up to him, chanting,
"We're gonna catch some pretty penguins, and we'll march them with a switch. And we'll sell them for $1. And get rich, rich, rich."
"What's happening?"
roared out Tacky, giving one hunter an especially hearty slap on the back. They growled,
"We are hunting for penguins. That's what's happening."
"Penguins? Do you mean those birds that march neatly in a row?"
And he began to march.
1, 2, 3, 4, 2, 3, 6, 0, 2.5, 0.
The hunters looked awfully puzzled.
"Do you mean those birds that dive so gracefully?"
And with that, Tacky did a splashy cannonball. The hunters looked awfully wet.
"Do you mean those birds that sing such pretty songs?"
And Tacky began to sing. And from behind the big block of ice came the voices of his companions, and they were all singing as loudly and dreadfully as they could.
"How many toes does a fish have? And how many wings of a cow? I wonder.
The hunters could not stand that horrible singing. This could not be the land of the pretty penguins. They ran away with their hands tightly over their ears, leaving behind their maps and their traps and their rocks and their locks,
and not looking at all rough and tough.
Goodly, lovely angel, neatly and perfect,
all hugged Tacky.
Tacky was an odd bird, but a very nice bird to have around.
Ever have to explain why it is you are you? Some people never understand why you do the things that you do. It seems that every day someone comes up to me to say,
"What's the matter with you? You act like your head is unscrewed."
I say, "Thank you kindly, have a very nice day. I just like to be that way." Sometimes late at night, when everybody's asleep, I put on my sneakers, I sneak outside, do somersaults in the street. But I know sometime next day, someone will come up to me to say,
"Hey, what's the matter with you? Don't you know last night it was 2:15?
I say, "Thank you kindly, have a very nice day. I just like to be that way." Sometimes I get so hungry. There's a sandwich that I love to eat. It's made of pickles and jelly, spaghetti and donuts. I tell you, it's a really good treat. When I eat it sometime that day, someone will come up to me to say, "Oh, gross! What is the matter with you? You know, you eat the weirdest foods." I say, "Thank you kindly, have a very nice day. I just like to be that way. Sometimes I'm in a hurry. I have to get dressed so fast. I put on my shoes to cover my feet, slip my socks on last. But I know sometime that day, someone will come up to me to say, 'Psst, hey, now what's the matter with you? Don't you know your socks are outside your shoes?' I say, 'Thank you kindly, have a very nice day. I just like to be that way. Sometimes I get so bored, I can't think of anything to do. So I pour fountain ink all over my head, fill up my ears with glue. But I know sometime that day, someone will come up to me to say, 'And what is the matter with you? Don't you know that your hair is all blue?' I say, 'I can't hear you, I got glue in my ears. Have a very nice day. I just like to be that way. So it's all right to be different. It's not that bad, you see. If everybody was exactly the same, what a boring old world this would be. So don't you feel dismayed when someone comes up to you to say, 'What is the matter with you? You know, honestly, sometimes I think you act like your head is unscrewed.' Just say, 'Thank you kindly, have a very nice day. Just like to be that way. Thank you kindly, have a very nice day. I just like to be that way.'"
Off Bill Harley's album Monsters in the Bathroom, that was What's the Matter with You. You are listening to Tell Us a Tale. Well, we are telling you a couple of our favorite children's stories from the late 20th century in this half hour, and the next one is definitely high up on Jen's list. It's called A Bad Case of Stripes, written by David Shannon, and that's published by Blue Sky Press.
Camilla Cream loved lima beans, but she never ate them. All of her friends hated lima beans, and she wanted to fit in. Camilla was always worried about what other people thought of her. Today she was fretting even more than usual. It was the first day of school, and she couldn't decide what to wear. There were so many people to impress. She tried on 42 outfits, but none seemed quite right. So she put on a pretty red dress and looked in the mirror, and then she screamed. Her mother ran into the room and she screamed too. "Oh my heavens, oh my heavens, you're completely covered with stripes." And this was certainly true. Camilla was striped from head to toe. She looked like a rainbow.
Oh, dear. Do you feel all right? Let me feel your forehead. Do you have a fever?
I feel fine, but just look at me.
You get back into bed this instant. You're not going to school today.
Camilla was relieved. She didn't want to miss the first day of school, but she was afraid of what the other kids might say. And she had no idea what to wear with those crazy stripes anyway. That afternoon, Dr. Bumble came to examine Camilla.
Most extraordinary. I've never seen anything like it. Are you having any coughing, sneezing, runny nose, aches, pains, chills, hot flushes, dizziness, drowsiness, shortness of breath, or uncontrollable twitching?
No. I feel fine.
Well then, Mrs. Crema, I don't see any reason why she shouldn't go to school tomorrow. Here's some ointment that should help clear up those stripes in a few days. If it doesn't, you know where to reach me.
And off he went. Well, the next day was a disaster. Everyone at school laughed at Camilla. They called her
Camilla Crema
and Night of the Living Lollipop. She tried her best to act as if everything were normal, but when the class said the Pledge of Allegiance, her stripes turned red, white, and blue, and she broke out in stars. The other kids thought this was great. One yelled out,
"Let's see some purple polka dots."
And sure enough, Camilla turned all purple polka dotty. Someone else shouted out,
"Checkerboard!"
And a pattern of squares covered her skin. Soon everyone was calling out different shapes and colors, and poor Camilla was changing faster than you can change channels on TV. Well, that night, Mr. Harms, the school principal, called.
"I'm sorry, Mrs. Crema. I'm going to have to ask you to keep Camilla home from school. She's just too much of a distraction, and I've been getting calls from all the other parents. They're afraid that those stripes may be contagious."
Camilla was so embarrassed. She couldn't believe that 2 days ago everyone liked her, and now nobody wanted to be in the same room with her. Her father tried to make her feel better.
"Is there anything I can get you, sweetheart?"
"No, thank you, Dad." But what she really wanted, what she really, really wanted, was a nice plate of lima beans, but she had been laughed at enough for one day.
Well, yes, I see.
Mumbled Dr. Bumble when Mrs. Cream phoned the next day.
"I think I'd better bring in the specialist. We'll be right over."
About an hour later, Dr. Bumble arrived with four people in long white coats. He introduced them to the Creams.
"Well, this is Dr. Grop, Dr. Sponge, Dr. Cricket, and Dr. Young."
Then the specialists went to work on Camilla. They squeezed and jabbed, tapped and tested, and it was very, very uncomfortable.
"Well, it is not the mumps."
"Or the measles."
"It's definitely not chicken pox."
"Or sunburn."
Try these.
And each specialist handed her a bottle filled with different colored pills.
"Take one of each before bed."
Then they filed out the front door, followed by Dr. Bumble. That night, Camilla took her medicine, and it was awful. When she woke up the next morning, she did feel different, but when she got dressed, her clothes didn't fit right. She looked in the mirror, and there, staring back at her, was a giant, multicolored pill with her face on it. Dr. Bumble rushed over as soon as Mrs. Cream called, but this time, instead of the specialists, he brought the experts. Come in. Dr. Gord and Mr. Mellon were the finest scientific minds in the land, and once again, Camilla was poked and prodded, looked at and listened to. The experts wrote down lots of numbers, and then they huddled together and whispered. Dr. Gord finally spoke.
"Well, it might be a virus."
And suddenly, fuzzy little virus balls appeared all over Camilla.
"Or possibly it could be some form of bacteria."
And out popped squiggly little bacteria tails.
"Or it could be a fungus."
And instantly, Camilla was covered with different colored fungus blotches. The experts looked at Camilla, then at each other.
"We need to go over these numbers again back at the lab. We'll call you when we know something."
But the experts didn't have a clue. Let's get out of here. Much less a cure. By now, the TV news had found out about Camilla. Reporters from every channel were outside her house telling the story of the bizarre case of the incredible changing kid. Soon, a huge crowd was camped out on the front lawn. The creams were swamped with all kinds of remedies, from psychologists to allergists, herbalists, nutritionists, psychics, an old medicine man, a guru, and even a veterinarian. Each so-called cure only added to poor Camilla's strange appearance until it was hard to even recognize her. She sprouted roots and berries and crystals and feathers and a long furry tail. But nothing worked. One day, a woman who called herself an environmental therapist claimed she could cure Camilla. "Close your eyes and breathe. Breathe. Breathe deeply. Very deeply. And become one with your room." Oh, I wish you hadn't said that. And slowly, Camilla started to melt into the walls of her room. Her bed became her mouth, her nose was a dresser, and two paintings were her eyes. The therapist screamed and ran from the house. "Oh, dear, what are we going to do? It just keeps getting worse and worse and worse. Oh, my, oh, my." At that moment, Mr. Cream heard a quiet little knock at the front door. He opened it.
Hello?
And there stood an old woman who was just as plump and sweet as a strawberry.
Yes?
"Excuse me, but I think I can help you."
"Why not? Come on in."
So she went into Camilla's room and looked around.
"Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. What we have here is a very bad case of the stripes. One of the worst I've ever seen. Here, dear. Here, dear. These might do the trick."
And she pulled a container of small green beans from her bag. "Are those magic beans?"
"Oh, my. No, dear. There's no such thing. These are just plain old lima beans. I bet you'd like some, Camilla, dear. Wouldn't you?"
Camilla wanted a big heaping plateful of lima beans more than just about anything, but she was still afraid to admit it.
"Yuck. No one likes lima beans, especially me. Oh, dear. Oh, dear. I guess I was wrong about you."
She put the beans back in her bag and started toward the door. Camilla watched the old woman walk away. Those beans would taste so good, and being laughed at for eating them was nothing compared to what she'd been going through. She finally couldn't stand it.
"Wait, wait. The truth is, I really love lima beans. I thought so, dear. Just pop one of these in your mouth. Maybe two or three. There you go, dear. Delicious."
And suddenly, the branches and feathers and squiggly tails began to disappear. Then the whole room swirled around, and when it stopped, there stood Camilla, and everything was back to normal.
"I'm cured! I'm cured!" "Yes, dear. I knew the real you was in there somewhere."
And she patted Camilla on the head, and then she went outside and vanished into the crowd. Afterward, Camilla wasn't quite the same. Some of the kids at school said she was weird, but she didn't care a bit. She ate all the lima beans she wanted, and she never had even a touch of stripes again.
"Cindy is absent, she's not here. Why, my poor dear. Cindy is absent, she's not here. Why, oh my poor dear."
With thoughts of some exotic dish, she began to eat the fish that used to swim round in the bowl. She ate and ate without control.
absent, she's not here. Why, oh my poor dear. Cindy is absent, she's not here. Why, oh my poor dear. She ate the goldfish, ate the cat. She ate some algae after that. She nibbled scales and gills and bones. She also ate some sand and stones. Cindy is absent, she's not here.
Buddy Barry Lewis Polisar's album Teacher's Favorites, that was Cindy's Absent. Well, we're going to close out this half hour of Tell Us a Tale with just a little bit of It's Like off Trout Fishing in America's album It's a Puzzle. So It's Like, we'll see you again soon, right here on Tell Us a Tale.
For you to know what it's like. It's like at school today, my teacher was like, she was talking about it and she got all like, and I hate it when she gets that way. And it was like I was talking to Jessica and all of a sudden she was all like, and it makes me so mad. I don't know why people have to get all like that way. You should have seen it. I was skating on a rail and grinding like it was awesome. My front foot was like way up here, my back foot was like just behind it, and when I landed, Matt was like, whoa! That was like, yeah! And then Matt did a 360 off the roof. It was unbelievable, because he almost like lost it, and then like he kept on going. You know what I mean?
Dad's always going on about the way we talk. Is it like sandpaper or like broken glass?
He'd take a walk.
It's like Dad's always going on and
like
on.
He could ever know.
Is it like chalk on a chalkboard
or like a garbage truck?
It's like he's just so. I was online talking, and like everybody's talking at the same time, but like Tom. He's still like at work in California, but it's like he's always on, even if he's not watching.
You are listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, SFU Burnaby.